Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Welcome, you know, to Passion Week. This is the middle of Passion Week. This is Wednesday. And I pray that you are having a great week and that you have plans in place to be in the house of God on Resurrection Sunday morning. We'd like to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. Our Resurrection Sunday services start at 10:30. And it would be a blessing and an honor for us if we were able to worship the risen King with you on that day. So make plans to be in the house of God on this day. Somebody told me one time, they said, "Now, Pastor, if this happens, this happens, this happens, I won't be in church on Sunday." This goes back, you know, 25 years ago. And I said, I understand. I'm sure that that's the same mindset that Jesus had when he was on his way to the cross, that he would do it if it was convenient, if it was comfortable, it was the right temperature. See, sarcasm is my natural language. So I have to really, really keep that under wraps. Because sometimes people do not like to be confronted with some of the motivational issues. So I want to encourage you, challenge you, motivate you to be intentional about your plans to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who set aside all of his glory, emptied himself, went to the cross, and gave his life so that your sins could be forgiven, so that you could be empowered to live the way God always wanted you to live. Make plans to be in the house of God on Sunday so that you can honor him and thank him for his great sacrifice. Today, we want to say thank you to the folks of JITS Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If we spend any length of time together, we might discuss some time talking about the challenges that we're facing or things like that. But one of the things that I will inevitably get around to is I will be able to find something to praise God about. And one of those things that I praise God for is that God has not called me to be a concrete worker. The folks at JITS Concrete have those skills, have the expertise. They know what all is involved in having a successful project come together, from having a pile of dirt in place to having a foundation that you can build upon. And so, as I've told you about JITS Concrete, they have decades and decades of experience. It's multi-generational. They have the expertise, the knowledge, the know-how, the connections to put all of the materials and the prep work and all of that in place. And they have the great work ethic to get your job done in such a way that it is going to be done correctly. My wife and I, not too long ago, we took a trip up north to North Florida. We walked into a grocery store, and when I walked in, I asked them this question. I said, "Is this store new?" And they said, "Yes, it's only been open basically a few weeks. I think it had crossed over into maybe the third month or something like that." And they told me when it opened, and I said, yeah, that's what I thought, because the concrete looked like it was brand new. And you can tell when, or at least I can tell. I go around, I'm the weird guy that looks at buildings. How did they do that? Why did they do that? Is that something that we could utilize? Those are the things that go through my mind. I could tell that the people who did the concrete there had done it recently and they had done it well. And I would like for your project to have that same legacy and appearance. And that happens when you call the folks of Jits Concrete. 321-536-5804. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So tonight we will have Bible study, our fire Bible discipleship study tonight at 7 p.m. And we would love for you to come and be a part of that. It's a serious Bible study. Now, you're not going to need to bring textbooks and all of that. We have the topics from a study Bible that we go through. We have a study guide that's printed. Most of the time it has the references printed on there as well. And so this one here is a part two study, and I don't remember exactly what the name of it is right off the top of my head. But we're completing a study that we just ran out of time several weeks ago to make that happen. So if you are looking for something to do tonight, come to Merit Assembly of God, and we can help you become anchored in the Word of God and to be a student that does not need to be ashamed of the efforts they put into understanding God's Word. Today we are going to continue looking at what the life of a devoted believer looks like, and we're going to move to the last chapter, chapter 16 of the book of 1 Corinthians. This is a letter from Paul, and we're going to look at verses 13 through 18, 13 through 18, so that's six verses, and we're going to look and see at what those particular admonitions are to us that when we put in place that are going to be beneficial. Again, what does the devoted life of a believer look like? So let me read verses 13 through 18. It says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, let all that you do be done with love. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you also submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us. I am glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, for what was lacking on your part they supplied, for they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. So we will get to the part about devotion. That is in verse number 15. But we want to keep things in context here. So verse number 13 says this. Watch. Watch. That means to be alert, stay awake, and it is something that you are supposed to be doing right now. It's a present responsibility, and it is an action word. It is not something that is passive. You are supposed to be doing this actively right now, and I will tell you this, it's also in the imperative sense. It's not optional. God's people need to be on watch. In the Old Testament, there was a person that was described, I believe it's in the book of Ezekiel, about a watchman on the wall, and he was responsible to report what he saw to the city. So if the watchman looked out and he saw that there was an enemy that was coming to attack the city, he said if he warned the people and the people did not respond, then the watchman would be cleared of his responsibility. However, if the watchman saw the enemy approaching, did not warn the people, the inhabitants of the city that the enemy was approaching, and the people were killed, God said, I'm going to hold the watchman responsible. I know in many places there is, they call the shifts first, second, or third shift. Other places they call it the watch, first watch, second watch, third watch. And so you and I are supposed to be presently active, watching, observing in an alert manner as to the climate, the things that are going on in our culture, because the enemy is not retired. The enemy does not take vacations. The enemy is constantly strategizing, trying to launch attacks against God's people to where he would catch them asleep. And so the solution to that is don't ever let your guard down. Don't ever let your guard down. Be watching. Be ready. Not only are we watching for what the enemy is doing, we're watching for what God is doing. And so when God is actively engaged in something, we need to get involved with that process. So if you go back to the book of Judges, you will find that there were a couple of times where God raised judges up and they would send out a call to the tribes and saying, look, we believe that it is time for God to bring deliverance to his people. We've repented of our sins, and we're sounding the trumpet. We are calling people together to rise up so that we can experience the deliverance that God wants for us. And on two different occasions, the children of Ephraim did not respond too well. And so in one of them, they waited until the outcome was pretty much already in place. And then they said, oh, okay, we'll help. Why didn't you invite us earlier? And at that point in time, the person deferred and said, look, what have I done compared to what you've done? You were able to bring deliverance because you are the ones who actually captured the kings and defeated the kings. My accomplishments are nothing compared with your accomplishments. Thank you for coming and helping, even if you came late. The came late there part was something that I added. On another occasion, the children of Ephraim, which would later become the 10 northern tribes, Ephraim was the second son of Joseph. It was his tribe was larger than his brother Manasseh, more recognizable. And this time, when the invitation came, they didn't come and help. And, you know, God just went ahead and brought them deliverance. And they said, why didn't you invite us? And the guy said, look, I sent out the invitation. You didn't respond. And God gave me deliverance anyway. And there ended up being a serious disagreement that led to a conflict because this one tribe was not watching and was unwilling to participate when deliverance had been decreed by God. They said, we're going to wait, we're going to watch, we're going to observe, and we're not going to get involved unless we see that you are winning. In sports, there's such a thing that is called a bandwagon fan. And that is a person who determines which team they're rooting for because that team is winning. And so one year they may be a fan of one team. The next year they may be a fan of another team. they're a fan of whoever is winning, but they're not there during the difficult times. They're just there for the wonderful celebrations and to ride the wave, if you will. They're just looking for whoever is winning, but they have no interest in making the victory a reality. They're just there for the celebration. We're not supposed to be like that. We are supposed to be watching. That means to be alert, to stay awake. You do not want to be the person who is supposed to be on watch, and instead of watching, they're sleeping. So the command that comes forth from Paul to the New Testament church, so we're, you know, you can't say, well, this is just Old Testament legalism and stuff like that. No, it's New Testament. It is a command to the church under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and that is be awake, be alert, watch. You live in perilous times. You live in very strategic times. There are people that need us, need the church to be awake and alert. The next command, it says this, stand fast in the faith. That word stand fast means to stand firm. You know, if you go over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, you are going to find in verse number 10 these words. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to, look at that, stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts, plural, of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse number 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So there are four different references there, once in verse number 10, twice in verse number 13, and once in verse number 14, that describes that you and I, when engaged in spiritual warfare, if we will follow God's direction here in Ephesians chapter 6, that we will be able to stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. So faith is a gift from God. And it's given to everyone. It is not just a philosophical mindset that is going to cause you to successfully cross the threshold of death into the presence of God. That is one aspect of it. But the faith that we have been given has a defensive force. If you look in Ephesians chapter 6, that it talks about that he has given us the shield of faith that will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So the reality is God wants us to be able to stand even in the day of adversity. He wants us to be able to stand successfully when things are going well. You know, you can't be the type of person that runs at the first hint that, you know, there's something challenging that could come your way. So, I've had a number of people that have moved into the area through the years, and it's always amusing to me to watch how people respond the first time that we come under a hurricane watch or a hurricane warning. Now, I've never lived through an earthquake, but I felt the ground shake under the power of a rocket. I don't remember. I mean, there may have been an earthquake when I lived in California, very, very early in my life, but my memories, don't even exist of that particular season in my life. I know my family has been through some minor earthquakes to the point that they said, "Did you feel that?" But when a hurricane is coming and a person's never been through a hurricane before, you begin to watch them, and pretty soon you will discover how they respond in the day of adversity. Are they going to freak out? Or are they going to be able to remain calm so that they can be a vessel to be used even during a very, very difficult time? There are a lot of people who run from trouble, and then there are people who run into very desperate situations because there are people who need to know about Jesus Christ. They need deliverance. They need rescuing. And there may be a price to be paid, but I can tell you this. I want to be the type of person that has a dangerous faith. And by that, I don't mean it's a danger for my family or it's a danger for the people around me. I want it to be a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that is dangerous to the enemy, that they say, "We have thrown everything, including the kitchen sink, at them, and they're still standing in faith." I pray that you will be anchored in Jesus Christ to such an extent that no matter how intense the battle gets, that you will still have your eyes fixed on Jesus and you will see that he is in control. That you won't be like the disciples, "Don't you care? We're dying in this storm." And Jesus said, "Oh, ye of little faith, where's the faith that I gave you? Do you not yet know? Well, let me show you that I am Lord over creation. Not just Lord over words, not just Lord over multiplying loaves and fishes. I'm Lord over the wind and the waves. I will take care of you." So stand firm in the faith. This is not a matter of willpower. This is a matter of having heard, "Thus says the Lord," and responding according to God's word. What has God told you? And when God has given you that position, that ground, don't give it up. Do not surrender one inch of territory that God has given to you under his authority. You say, "No, this," you know, there was one of David's mighty men, and he engaged the enemy over his lentil patch. Now, I don't think that lentils are worth dying for. That wasn't the point. The point was, like Naboth, that was his inheritance. It didn't belong to the enemy. And I'm going to stand my ground for what God has given to me. So I pray that when you find yourself in the day of adversity, that your faith doesn't waver, but your faith is what causes you to act in such a manner that the enemy knows, I'm going to have to look for a more opportune time. I don't know what your storm looks like. It might be the natural elements. It may be economic. It may be physical. It may be spiritual. You may be dealing with a battle about your past, and you need to be able to stand firm in your faith. If you're dealing with a battle from your past, but you've asked Jesus to forgive you of that and cover it with his blood, I can tell you, you can stand fast in the faith that God has given you, that you are forgiven. Now, he didn't deliver you from that so you could go back and do it over and over and over again. And so take the word of God and say, this is what God has said, and this is what I'm going to take my, make my reaction based on. And devil, no matter what comes my way, I am not going to give up what God has given to me. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. How do you stand in faith? You put on the whole armor of God. That enables you to stand against the strategies of the enemy. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. That means that there are days that the enemy has you in his targets, and he wants to do bad things to you, but because of the armor of God, that you are going to be able to withstand. You also have to be willing to put into practice the things that God has told you to do, so that it says there in verse number 13, and having done all, to stand. Verse number 14 says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, my first day with my new mouth, feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. Put on the wardrobe that God has given to you. Don't go into a spiritual battle unprepared. Stand, therefore, and just keep on standing. Stand firm in the faith. So we want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program today. I pray that, like I said, you will consider worshiping with us at Merit Assembly of God. Who knows? You could be the one person that God is wanting to use that could bring breakthrough to this community. And so we want to invite you to come join us as we are blessed by God to be a blessing to our community. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Speak with the near people, your saints. Fill us with the love of justice.